Welcome to The Schmooze with Rabbi Mintz, rabbi at Congregation Beth Israel, and co-director of Chabad of Forsyth, Dawson, and Lumpkin with his wife, Chaya. The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at theschmooze@jewishforsyth.org. Now, let's get schmoozing with Rabbi Mintz and his co-host, Tim House, on North Georgia's News Talk, WDUN.
Hey, good morning, folks. Glad you're joining us this morning on The Schmooze. Rabbi Levi Mintz, how are you?
Thank God, doing great. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing well. Good to see your smiling face again. We've got a lot to go talk about today because it is the High Holy Season, and we've got a lot of holidays to speak of. But you're doing well other than the rain.
Let me tell you something, Tim. When I'm together with you and we're at The Schmooze and we're recording, it's a great day. It's going to be a great weekend. And looking forward to a very exciting show.
This, I do enjoy doing the show live with you. It's an inspiration to my heart, and I hope it's an inspiration to everybody else out there in radio land. And with that, let me tell you all a little about us this morning. As we are motivated by a profound love for every Jew, and we're spurred by boundless optimism, Congregation Beth Israel is dedicated to building community every day through a dazzling array of programs and services to serve the spiritual and physical needs of all Jews from all walks of life with unconditional love and acceptance. Folks, we want to hear from you. We have heard from some folks this week, but we need to hear some more. Please contact us, jewishforsyth.org, 470-253-7111. Rabbi, as I said, and you started at the beginning of the show, the high holidays are upon us, and we've got a lot to talk about.
We sure do. We sure do, Tim. And, you know, we got Yom Kippur, which is coming this Sunday night and Monday, and then a Friday night kicks off the next holiday of the high holiday season. We have Sukkot, which is a fantastic eight-day celebration, and then it goes into Simchas Torah, the celebration of the Torah, which will be on the following Sunday. So it's a very exciting time for the Jewish people on the Jewish calendar, and there's so much to talk about the festivals. And, you know, I think that there's something we ought to reflect about, which is fascinating, right? It's a journey. The high holiday experience is an absolute journey. We're supposed to become transformed through the process. So Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year. It's the Day of Judgment. We make resolutions for the new year. 10 days later comes Yom Kippur. It's the Day of Atonement, which is such a special day. We get to cleanse ourselves, a day for renewal, push away the past, really make that decision between us and God, us and others, that we're ready to become a new person and begin the new year in a completely new and elevated way. Yom Kippur It's not a sad day. It's a day of celebration. What a gift of renewal that we get to have on the Day of Atonement on Yom Kippur. And then we go into the holidays of joy, Sukkot, Simchas Torah, where now we anchor all of the inspiration that we had over Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur through being together, through unity, coming together in a sukkah, shaking the lulav and the etrog, being together with friends, with community, eating, drinking, saying l'chaim, because at the end of the day, the way we anchor all of our inspiration, it always comes through joy. And that's the end of the high holiday experience of Sukkot. And then, of course, Simchas Torah, singing and dancing with the Torahs, and the love that we have for each other, and the connection that we have for each other, and the kindness that we have for each other, to the extent that the Midrash says about the end of the high holiday experience, Kasheh alai piridatchem, it's difficult for me that you are leaving, because God, as a loving Father, sees us together for so long. We're together Rosh Hashanah, together for Yom Kippur, together on Sukkot, and it's painful for a parent to see his children leave. When are we going to see each other again? And God says, let's make a final party just to celebrate our connection and just being together. And you know how this experience ends? It ends with the celebration of the Torah. And we have to ask why. Why does the high holiday season end with singing and dancing with the Torah? We don't study the Torah. We don't read the Torah. We don't open it up and dissect all of the verses and all of the sentences and the chapters, etc., etc. But we take the Torah, with it being garbed, with it being clothed, and we sing and dance the night away, and then the next day, of course, until the sun sets, singing and dancing with the Torah. And this is the way the high holiday season ends. Why? Why? The Day of Judgment, the Day of Atonement, sitting together in unity in the sukkah. And how does it end? We take out the Torahs and we sing and we dance. We don't read it. We don't study it, but we sing and dance with it. My dear friends, the answer is because we're going into a world, a new world after the high holidays, and we don't know what the year will bring us. Will it be an easy year? Will it be a hard year? Will it be a stressed year? Will it be a year of anxiety? Will business be good? Will business be down? Will our love life be up? Will our love life be down? And at the end of the day, the only way to always live above it all is through holding the Torah. Let me tell you a great story. So a few decades ago, there was a great tradition that began. The tradition was advocating for Jews to study the entire Talmud over 7.5 years. And the idea is that the Talmud has approximately 2,000 pages. So if one studies one page a day after 7.5 years, one would study the entire oral Jewish tradition, the entire Talmud. What a great concept. So of course, the first cycle, all of the synagogues around the world had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people, diehards, that did this, that made it happen, a great commitment of 7.5 years. But then there was the next cycle and the next cycle, and it started to grow. More and more Jews started to become committed to the study of Torah. What happens? About 30 years ago, Madison Square Garden is rented. Max capacity of approximately 18,000 seats. Would we be able to fill up Madison Square Garden with Jews that finished the cycle of studying the entire Talmud? And they did it. Could you imagine max capacity celebrating the study of the entire Talmud? 7.5 years ago. We need a bigger place. And a bunch of rabbis come together in New York that have a connection with Met Stadium. Can we rent out the facility? Max capacity of 93,000 people. What a number. 93,000 people coming together to celebrate the studying of Torah. With the right connections, they were able to sign the deal. They're sitting down around a long table. The rabbis organizing the event and all of the owners of Met Stadium discussing how this exactly would happen. And as they're signing the contract, not knowing what would be to bring 93,000 Jews singing and dancing and celebrating the completion of studying Torah, one of the owners is sitting there ready to sign, and he begins to get all teary and he begins to cry. They all look at this individual and they're looking at him. What are you getting all emotional about? He wipes away his tears and he says, I'm not Jewish, I'm Catholic. All the Jews in the room look at this man and says, so why are you getting teary? Why are you all emotional about this moment? He says, let me tell you something. He says, I'm not a Jew. I'm Catholic, and a proud Catholic I am. But for the last 10 years, it took me all of this time raising funds, business connections to build this stadium. You think it's easy to build this stadium? It's not easy. All of the permits we had to get from the city, all of the money that we had to raise. I put my heart and my soul in this project for 10 years. You don't live a long life. How many years do we live? 60, 70, 80, 120 years? I gave a decade into this project. And finally, we had the grand opening, and it came. And you know, there's always been a void. Because I look at this beautiful facility, and it's amazing. But at the end of the day, it's used for people to jump up and down for frivolous things, ultimately. Ultimately, for things that are meaningless. Ultimately, for things that don't make the world a better place. And quite frankly, so often, the vendors that come and use the facility are used in ways that actually promote unethical living. And this has been a void in my life. A whole decade of my life and a lifetime of raising money and creating myself. For this, is this what I have? And he says, I'm crying here today because to have my stadium filled with 93,000 individuals that are going to be singing and dancing with joy for what? For what? That they studied the Torah, that they studied God's word. He says, I don't care where you are. I don't care what world you live in. You don't see this anywhere else in the world, that thousands of people are going to come together and to sing and dance with joy about studying God's word, about studying the Torah, about elevated ideas, how to make life better, how to live an ethical, moral, holier life. This is something that is unbelievable. And he says, I'm signing the papers today. And today has brought meaning and purpose into void. Now I know the real reason of why this stadium was created for events like this. The story doesn't end. The next day, there's a Jew who's driving in a car and he's being pulled over by a police officer in New York. And this is the next morning after this big event. The cop comes, asks him to put down his window, and he sees a Jew there with a yarmulke. He looks clearly Jewish. So with a big smile, he looks at this Jew in the driver's seat and he says, did you study your page today? The Jew looks at the cop and says, did I study my page today? What are you talking about? He says, yes, did you study your page today? And he says, let me tell you something. Today I'm pulling you over as a cop. Yesterday I was hired to be part of security of the event. And he says, I never saw what I saw yesterday in my entire life. He says, quite frankly, I'm envious of you. I'm jealous of you. I wish I was Jewish. I wish I was part of a community that the greatest celebration of life was studying Torah, living an elevated life. I am completely envious of all of this. And this cop looks at this Jew and says, I want you to go home quickly. Make sure you study your page and I'll let you go. You're not getting a ticket today. My dear friends, this is the greatest gift that we have, the Torah. And this is the reason why we celebrate on the end of the High Holiday Experience. Because quite frankly, we don't know how life is going to be. But there's a reason why we're called the people of the book. Because when we study Torah, when we elevate our mind, all of a sudden, whatever is going on in our lives, we have that moment to plug in, to elevate ourselves and live above it all. And we know that we're going into a new year, to a new world. We grab that Torah and we sing and dance with it, holding it and saying we will not let go of it. It has brought our nation for thousands of years in the most difficult of all times. Surely the Torah will carry me even through this next year. So the big question, my dear friends, before we jump into a break, how do I practically bring the joy of the Torah into my life this year? And for that, we'll get back to it after the break.
Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome.
Hey, folks, glad you stayed with us this morning on the Smooze. Rabbi, you've hit us with a lot, so how do I bring joy into my life? That's what we're going to talk about now?
Absolutely, absolutely. So we realize that no one in this world is free from the stresses of life. There's no individual that can say, you know what, I'm going to have a life where everything's going to be picture perfect. It doesn't exist. We're human. We're created in a limited world. So once we get over that reality, we get over that reality that life is going to have its ups and downs. There's going to be challenges. There are going to be things that can bring about stress in my life. So how do I live above it all? And the answer that Judaism gives is by being connected to the tree of life. And the tree of life is the Torah. And this is the reason why the Jewish people have been able to survive thousands of years. You know, the writers, philosophers, thinkers have always asked the question, how have the Jewish people been able to survive it all thousands of years and we've had not had it easy? And the answer is because we've always been the people of the book. We've held on to the Torah, to its ideas, and it has lifted us up above all of the crashing waters. So with that being said, there are three ways that one can study Torah. Way number one is privately, alone. Way number two is with a study partner, with another individual. Way number three is on a communal level, attending classes and lectures with other members of the community. And ultimately, every one of these three ways are unbelievably important. You know, it says in the Torah that a Jew should study the Torah twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. Start off the day right, elevated, uplifted. End the day right, elevated and uplifted. And so the wheel keeps on turning. You start the day, you end the day, and it keeps you flowing, keeps you elevated. And my greatest suggestion to our listeners is to find a way. It's a new year. It's a time to make New Year resolutions, to make commitment. We want to live above the stress. We want to live a happy and elevated life. Make the commitment. Make the New Year's resolution to study Torah on a personal level, with a friend, and with the community. And it's something that's so easy. It's just a decision. And there's so many parts of the Torah, so many different areas. There's the law. There's the philosophy. There's the actual Bible, there's the Mishnah, there's the Talmud, there's the Code of Jewish Law, there's Hasidic philosophy. There's so much to the Torah. Find the part that we love. Find the part that gives us joy. Find the part that we connect to, that elevates us. Study it privately. Study it with a partner. Call up a friend and say, hey, Jack, hey, Cheryl, let's study together every single day or once a week. With who? With me. Together. Imagine how amazing that would be. You know, today on the World Wide Web with Chabad.org, every resource is available. The entire Torah is there, translated in any language that we understand and that is familiar to us. And then, of course, the amount of communal learning that's available, especially here locally at Congregation Beth Israel. We have courses every single week. We have courses from the JLI. We have courses from Torah study. There's studying that happens every Shabbat morning at services. There are so many communal ways to study as well. Here is the bottom line, is that the high holiday season gives us inspiration. It interjects us with so much joy. but we have to dance with the Torah to bring it in for the next year. I got to share with you an amazing story. There are two Jews that lived in Kharkov. I don't know if you've ever visited Kharkov. I know it's not on the top 10 list
of people. It's not off the 285.
It's not off the 285, not off the 400. I'm assuming on the next big trip you're not going to Kharkov. But anyways, the story is that there were two Jewish men that traveled from the city of Kharkov all the way to another city called the city of Lubavitch. And they came to visit their Rebbe, their rabbi, to come and gain inspiration. So they come, and the rabbi at the time was the Rebbe Maharash. The Rebbe Maharash was the fourth Chabad Rebbe. And these two Jews from Kharkov, they're waiting outside the Rebbe Maharash's office in order to have a private audience. The first Jew from Kharkov comes in, and the rabbi asks him, he says, "So nu? What's going on in Kharkov, right? How's Jewish life in Kharkov? What's happening? What's going on?" So the Jew looks at the rabbi and he says, "Listen, the school's in shambles. The community is fighting. There's no study. There's no prayer. There's no righteousness. There's no kindness. There's no giving of charity. There's no connection between each other. Everyone's living a narcissistic life, living for themselves. This is what's going on in Kharkov." Okay, so the rabbi looks at this Jew and says, "You know, may you be blessed with a wonderful year." And he leaves the rabbi's room. In comes in the next Jew from Kharkov, again sitting now in the Rebbe's room, and the Rebbe asks him the exact same question, "Nu, what's going on in Kharkov?" And now the Jew looks at the Rebbe and says, "In Kharkov, the schools are growing. The synagogue is vibrant. There's a sense of righteousness. There's a sense of kindness. We are caring for each other. We are loving each other. There is no one that ever feels alone. We are there. There's joy. There is happiness. There's connection. There's spirituality. The life for Jews in Kharkov is on fire." The Rebbe Maharash gives a big smile. He opens up the drawer of his desk, takes out a golden coin, and he gives it to this individual and says, "Here's a golden coin. Go back to Kharkov, and here's my contribution to help the Jewish community to continue to grow in Kharkov." This Jew comes out of the Rebbe Maharash's office, and now all of a sudden he's face to face together with who? With this other Jew from Kharkov. He says, "Look what the Rebbe gave me, a gold coin." "A gold coin? What happened?" He says, "He asked me what's going on in Kharkov." "What did you say?" "He said what he said." He said, "The Rebbe asked me the exact same question. He didn't give me a gold coin." He goes back into the Rebbe's office. He says, "My friend from Kharkov came. You asked him what's going on in Kharkov. He told you everything that's not happening in Kharkov. And you gave him a gold coin. You asked me what's going on in Kharkov, and I told you the truth. I told you what's really happening in Kharkov. But you didn't give me anything." So the Rebbe looks at this individual and he says, "I asked you what's going on in Kharkov. I asked you what's going on in Kharkov. What's going on in your Kharkov? And in your Kharkov, everything's falling apart. But when I asked him what's going on in his Kharkov, everything is amazing and everything is growing." My dear friends, the question is exactly the same for us. What is going on in our Kharkov? What is going on in our 2020? What is going on in our lives? What is going on in our world? That is the big question. And we can be living in one world where all of a sudden everything's falling down, everything's in shambles. And from one perspective, there is truth to that. That is what is going on in our Kharkov. You look around, you listen to the news, it's crazy. The amount of people that are making billions of dollars by getting us stressed out, they're doing a good job. Yeah. Stressed out through the roof. What's going on in your Kharkov? And from a certain perspective, these are real and authentic worries and stresses and concerns. But at the same time, we can be living in the Kharkov that we choose to live in. Above it all, not oblivious to it. Listen to the news 1 hour a day. Max, that's way more than enough. Think about how many hours were consumed. The radio, television, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, so on and so forth. Just getting injected like an IV of stress into our lives. Who needs this? Get our update once a day. But we can choose to live in our Kharkov. We can choose to live in our 2020. It's going to be December 31st, and the world's going to ask you, "How was your 2020? And we can decide what that answer looks like. What has our 2020 looked like? How has our Kharkov looked like? And ultimately, it's going to be dependent on us. Us making the choice to live above it all. My dear friends, we're not done. We got so much more to schmooze about. We'll be back after the break.
Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, It's the Hebrew School That's Totally Awesome.
Hey, folks, glad you're back joining us again from the break. Rabbi, let's continue talking about how we make our own 2020 or 2021.
Exactly, Tim. You know, so we're ready. We're ready. We're in. We understand that this year can be an amazing year, despite all of the real challenges. We're in. We're ready to hold on to the Torah. We're ready to let it lift us up, let we sit on its wings and it flies us and it brings us to where we need to be. We're in. We're ready to make our own Kharkov special, so to speak, to define our own 2020. But all of a sudden, there can be that little bird, that little voice that's sitting on our shoulders. But it's been so long. But I haven't figured it out for so many years. Come on, this year is going to be different. I'm 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. And my entire life, I allowed Kharkov to define how life was. I allowed all of the stresses and the anxiety to take me over. And quite frankly, as a Jew, I really never studied Torah. It's been years since I even walked foot into a synagogue. The idea of helping another Jew, being there for another Jew, this is something that I've never done in my entire life. Come on, this is going to be the year. What should I do? And Tim, I got to tell you an amazing story of a phenomenal story between a king that had two sons. There was a king who lived in a palace, and he had two sons. One son that sat by the side of his table his entire life, cared for him, served him, loved him, celebrated life together every single moment. And then he had another son who, very young, wanted to be independent, wanted to leave, wanted to go on his way, and left the palace, left the kingdom. And he went and got his own job and started his own career and did his own thing. And it was years since he came back to see his dad in the palace, years before he came home. One regular afternoon, the king is having lunch together with his son who has been by his side his entire life. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. The king opens up the door. And on the other side of the door is his son that he hasn't seen in years. Father and son embracing each other, heads falling on each other's shoulders, a deep, heartfelt cry. The tears are flowing. My son, my father, hugging and kissing. It's so good to see each other, hugging again, tighter and tighter. Quickly, the father says, come, sit down by the table. Guards, servants, bring him food. Before you know it, the food is being brought. The desserts are being bought. The wine is being bought. They're saying cheers to each other. There is such incredible joy between father and son. Sitting there on the side is the son who's been there, dedicated his entire life. He says, Father, you've never shown so much joy and love to me, and I've been by your side this entire time. All of a sudden, your son comes after years of not being by your side, and I've never seen you so happy before. What's going on? And the father looks at his son, and he says, my son, the love of a father to a child is eternal. It can never be taken away. It is natural. It is there. And every father wants to see his child more than anything. Every father wants to have a relationship with his child more than anything. And over these decades, all I did was pray that I would see my son again. And when I opened up that door and I saw my child that I prayed for, that I loved, are you kidding me? Of course it elicited the greatest joy and the greatest happiness of my life. I'm together with my son who I've always loved. My dear friends, let me tell you something. If this is going to be the year that you're ready to come to services for the first time in decades, if this is going to be the year that you are ready to grab the book, the Torah that was given to you as an eternal inheritance, what I can tell you is God is, so to speak, going to be doing cartwheels in the heavens above. The angels are going to be singing and dancing in the heavens above because the love has always been there. The connection has always been there. And finally, now it's the moment of embrace. So my dear friends, let's make this new year an incredible year. Let's live above the stresses. Let's know that God is waiting and craving to be close together with him. And when we know all of this, my dear friends, there is so much light. There is so much opportunity, so much positive energy. Let's grab the Torah. Let it lift us up and soar us to the highest of heights. And together may we be blessed with a happy and a healthy, sweet new year, a year filled with good health, good wealth, and happiness for each other. Shana Tova, and looking forward to continuing our schmooze, our joyful conversation after the high holiday season.
Hey, folks, glad you joined this morning. Hope we see you this weekend. Y'all take care. Thank you, Rabbi. Enjoy it. Thank you.
A great pleasure, Tim. And never forget, L'chaim to life. Always infuse life into life.
The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life.
More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at theschmooze@jewishforsife.org.